Hey, hey, this is Rebbetzin Vefkan Grossman from the Connected for Real podcast, and I want you to have access to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat right here in your ears. If you would like to access all of the links, workbook, or get your free one-on-one with me, go to connectedforreal.com/retreats. Enjoy. Welcome to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, day 3. Wow, you guys are awesome, amazing, like woohoo, give yourselves a round of applause. It is not easy to be consistent. It's not easy to show up, and you are here. So awesome, congratulations. A couple of things. One, we have our raffle. I think that if people aren't introduced to it by this point, they're probably going to feel overwhelmed if they have to make up too much or if they just come in the middle of something. So today is probably the last day that you can enter to win the raffle. And you can, there's going to be two winners, because at first I was like, there's going to be one winner. And I'm like, oh no, I want to make it two. So I was thinking of myself, like if I had a chance to win something, I would want more of like a chance. So there's definitely a very high chance, because there's not that many people who filled it in and, you know, went through the trouble. So today would be your last day to, you know, send it to someone, introduce them, tell them, oh my gosh, this is like super awesome. I'm sure you could do it later on too, but it's just super powerful. Okay. So that's about the raffle. We're going to be raffling on the 7th day. So stay tuned. It's going to be amazing. As we said, the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat is basically designed as a 7-day retreat. Retreat meaning that you retreat from everyday life and you take an hour for yourself to focus on yourself, your marriage, your relationship with your husband, yourself, Hashem, God, okay? You're really becoming intentional. You're focusing, okay? And I designed it this way so that you can really go through the steps. Step one was day one, connect to yourself. And by the way, this is following the CALM method that I created, right? So the CALM method stands for connect to yourself. That was day one. Ask for abundance was day two. We spoke about that yesterday. Today, we're going to be learning about listen to the answer. And day four tomorrow is going to be about master a higher level of consciousness. Okay. So there is a flow to the four steps, and I am breaking down each step so much that it really is a whole class on itself, but I want to put it all together. So on day 7, you're going to see that we're going to be using the CALM method in a lot of different ways. And I'll be sprinkling it also across so that you can get more of, you know, more uses examples. Day 5 and 6 are very hot topics. Day 5 is on Sunday, right? Because we take a break for Friday and Saturday. Day 5 is enhance your intimacy. That is a very, very hot topic. And I was very afraid to talk about it. I was like, no, I'll talk about anything else but that. But it turns out that nobody is speaking about it. And especially not in this angle, from this, you know, approach where it's important to discuss it. It's important to talk about it. And you deserve to have the best. So this is why we're here. So we address that on day 5. On day 6, we talk about designing the atmosphere of your home. And it's really, really important also, again, because if your home is chaotic and you can't feel safe in your own home, you don't feel comfortable in your home. Someone said, I don't feel at home, right? The goal is to feel at home in your own home and to be happy to be there and to want to invest your time and energy and intentions in your home. Okay. So that is a very hot topic. And we address that on day 6. Day 7, there is an amazing meditation and we're going to have the raffle and we pull it all together. Today, we're going to talk about your husband, right? This whole marriage breakthrough retreat is about your marriage. And so your first thing is like, yes, we're going to go learn how to fix my husband, right? It's like, I had to learn what to do about this guy. And you show up and day one was all about you, right? And it was connect to yourself. You need to know what you want. You need to know what matters to you, right? And give yourself permission to receive and allow yourself to do things for yourself. And it was like, that has nothing to do with my marriage, right? Like, what is she talking about? And then day two was all about God. And we talked about how to connect to God and how to bring him into our life, how to let go of the baggage and how to pray in a way that actually is structured and works, right? And we wrote a prayer and we connected. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, your homework yesterday, you know, from yesterday, was to read the prayer that you wrote, because reading is different than writing. And there is something just, you know, completely different that happens when you read. So if you wrote your prayer yesterday, go back and read it. Okay. Sorry for the belated homework, but if you get a chance, it's very powerful. It's a really moving moment where you can actually read back what you wrote. And it's not so bad that I forgot, because sometimes, you know, a little bit of time that passes is good for you. And you're like, what does God have to do with my marriage? It has everything to do with your marriage, but it doesn't look like it, right? So we got to day three. We're finally going to be talking about your husband, the one and only. And I start always with this story because I learned it from my mentor, Aviela Sasson, and she passed away, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. She made such an impact in my life. She says, when you walk into the house and you see the mirror and the mirror is right there and suddenly you see there's a stain on your shirt, what do? You grab a napkin and you start rubbing the mirror and you're like, oh, it's not coming off. So you get the spray and you rub the mirror and it's not coming off. So you get the steel and you like, you know, really rub it. And then you get the bleach, right? You're like, it's not coming off. Is anybody getting the analogy here? Right? Your husband is the mirror. He's showing you what's happening on your shirt and you're trying to change him. Does that make any sense to anyone? Obviously not, right? In real life, we wouldn't do that. We'd be like, oh, I have to clean my shirt. So I would go clean my shirt, come back to the mirror, and surprise, the mirror is clean. Wow. Right? Like, my mind just blew. How is the mirror clean? I did nothing to the mirror. I did all these things to my mirror. I tried shoving and pushing and explaining and teaching and, you know, taking him to the rabbi and I don't know, all the different things you can do to try to fix your husband. And when you finally just fix your own shirt, he's fixed. Magic, right? And it sounds funny because I'm trying to be funny. I am, you know, a very positive and cute person. But like, when you think about it, it's really silly what we spend our energy and our time and our efforts and our frustration and our resentment on something that is useless. What is it going to help you to sit there and scrub the mirror? Why are you wasting your time? Why are we sitting there with, you know, hours and hours of just like, let me try this one more time. Forget about it. Just leave it. He is a mirror. All of the people around you in your life are all mirrors. It just happens to be that the husband is one of those like enlarging mirrors that shows you every pore and every wrinkle. And so it really doesn't feel nice, right? But really, it's all a mirror. This whole world is mirrors for us to be able to see the reflection of what we need to work on. Any questions so far? Right? And Aviela Sasson, she always used to say, don't say lama, say lima. Don't say, why is this happening to me? Change it. Same letters, just a different word. For what? Stop looking backwards. Why is this happening to me? Why? What did I do to deserve this guy? Right? This is I used to say that, so I know experience. Instead, say, what is this for? And so if he is showing me something, if there is something that really bugs me about him, if there is something wrong with him, and I am seeing that, then it is here for me to learn something. Okay? Good? Everybody with me? Today is an intense day. I'm going to talk a lot. I'm really sorry. There's like, I tried making this more, you know, with the flow and like meditations and whatever, but like, there's just a lot of material. So I don't always have, you know, big grants and lots of, you know, long trainings, but this one happens to be day three. So day three is a big one. Okay. Definitely is powerful. Awesome. Yay. Okay. So we keep going. Byron Katie. Who has heard of Byron Katie? Raise your hand or write in the chat. Byron Katie is a very sweet lady. She's older. I met her online. Okay. So I only know her from the internet, but she is basically the founder or the creator of something called The Work. Okay. And it's called The Work by Byron Katie. And from her own life experience, she figured out and found a workbook, a worksheet, 6 questions that she wrote up that guide you through a process of finding the truth. Okay. And step one of her worksheet, the worksheet is called Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet. Okay. And it's called Judge Your Neighbor because you can't judge favorably without first judging. Okay. So you have to get it all out in order to look at it and then fix it. You can't go straight into judging favorably. Okay. So the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet has 6 statements. Each statement is almost like a, you know, Mad Lib or something where we used to fill in the blanks. So it's like, I am emotion blank, right? With blank person because blank. And then you go and you fill it out. Or I need my husband to blank. And, you know, you fill it out. Whatever it is that her question is, she guides you through it. It's a very simple and powerful tool. And I devoured everything she had to say for a long time. Like, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 years ago. I just couldn't stop listening to her because it made so much sense. It filled my entire, it just completely shifted my life. Okay. And one of the things that she teaches is inquiry, which is finding out the truth, right? And then the last part is called the turnarounds. And when you are willing to hear the truth, and then you turn around a statement, you allow yourself to see that maybe it's not just them who are wrong. And, you know, the work by Byron Katie could be used on any people, like, you know, family members, friends, people, bosses, whatever. But also I've used it on money. I've used it on food. I've used it on so many things. Okay. Because it's just so helpful to find out what's going on inside me. What do I need to work on? What's, you know, what's next? It's very practical too, which, you know, if you know me, I love practical. She also does challenging a belief process. Yes, that's exactly what she does. She, you know, she challenges the belief. And everything is based on the fact that your beliefs create your thoughts create your feelings create your actions. Okay. So if you want to stop being angry, if you want to stop getting annoyed, if you want to stop whatever action, right? Those are feelings, but, you know, exploding, you know, that's an action. If you want to stop exploding, then you have to stop feeling angry. Well, how do I change my feelings? By changing my thoughts. How do I change my thoughts? By changing the beliefs. And in order to change them, you first have to look at them. What am I believing? It's super powerful. I was once, I don't think I introduced myself on day one because I don't know, long story. I was a graphic designer for 15 years. And then I transitioned with my pregnancy number six. I transitioned to becoming a coach. And then I left graphic design completely. Okay. So I think I did tell you I was, yeah, I did introduce myself. Okay. I was starting to feel bad that I didn't tell you. Anyway, so one of my clients for the graphic design stuff, like he came back to Israel from China with duffel bags of samples, and we had to sit through it and like make decisions about what to buy, how to package it, how to put it together, whatever, like a lot of decisions, a lot of things. And he was so stressed out and he was so upset that he couldn't work. And so I said to him, I'm like, can you give me half an hour of your time? I will help you through this. And then we could sit down and work on the work. And he was like, fine. So we put all the samples aside and I printed out the page for him and he went through the questions. And then we went through the inquiry and went through the turnarounds. And by the end of it, he was like, whoa, how did you do that? He wasn't annoyed anymore. He was laughing about it. He knew exactly what to do next. Like the whole thing just blew his mind. And his wife, who is a therapist, looked at me and says, I learned therapy for all these years, you know, and I got a master's. How is what you do different? Like, why did it work so fast? And basically that was the first time I realized that I came up with this explanation. I'm like, therapy, you go like, you know, if you have a whole building, you go like one floor at a time. You're like, okay, there's this thing, you have all these beliefs, they make up this whole building. And you're like, let's, you know, start from the top. And we just go like one layer at a time. It's very tedious. And you have to go through each layer. And it's like a lot of work, right? And the work by Byron Katie basically goes straight to the core, questions it, like, you know, shakes it up. And then like the whole thing just comes down. The whole thing just tumbles down. And that's why I like it so much, because it works, it's quick, it's easy. It's not like, you know, years and years of treacherous work. And of course, all of us are layers, right? We're going to go through one layer and another layer. We're always going to have that process within ourselves. But in a situation, in a specific situation, it's helpful. It's practical. It's like, right now, what do I do? What do I need to do? Okay. Any questions so far? Let me see the chat. Oh, from you, I heard about her. Yay. She's a little weird. We all are. She is, you know, in the beginning, I was like, man, I can't figure it out. But everything she says is so in alignment with Judaism and with everything that I've learned that I have to figure out, maybe she's Jewish, like deep down, maybe she's hiding something. And I couldn't find anything. I was like, Byron Katie Jewish, nothing, no Google anything came up. And I was so disappointed because I was sure 100% that everything she was saying, like, it's so aligned that it has to be that she's Jewish, but I don't think so. The first time that I was finally willing to do the work on myself was, you know, and by the way, like, you're learning, you're consuming, but like actually doing it is like the next step, the next level. And I was afraid to, I don't know, I was afraid what I would find if I did do it. So I didn't do it for a long time. I was just consuming it the whole time. I was reading it and like watching all of her videos and doing all of her things. Like, I just really loved it, but I couldn't get to the next step. And then one day we went to sleep and my husband starts chewing my ear off about his day. So this happened and that happened and this person said this and this person said that. And the first thing that went through my head is, oh my gosh, she's so selfish. She didn't ask me a single time how my day was, what happened to me, you know, anything, nothing. Like, he completely ignored me and is just talking at me. He is so selfish. And at that moment, the question that she has, four questions, is it true? Can you absolutely know it's true? What happens when you believe the thought, and who would you be without this thought? So I said, he's so selfish. And the first thing that came in my mind is that true? And I was like, yes, he's standing, you know, sitting right there talking about his day, blabbing nonstop, talking about all these people I couldn't care less about, all these things that happened that I have no idea what he's talking about. And I'm just stuck here listening to it, trying to, like, you know, put in a word, and like, I don't exist. It's all about him. And then the next question was like, can you absolutely know that it's true? And I was like, yes. I mean, it's obvious. I just gave you all the reasons why he's selfish. And so question three is, what happens when you believe the thought? When I believe the thought that he is selfish, I get really annoyed, like really annoyed, because he's not thinking about me. He doesn't care about me. He couldn't care less that I have things to tell him about my day. And then when I thought that, and like, you know, all this is going through my head. Okay. When I thought that, I was like, he doesn't care about me and my day. I was like, ooh, oh yeah. When I believe he is selfish, I become selfish. Ouch. And then I realized, oh, and the last question is, who would you be without this thought? And who would I be without this thought in this moment while he's talking to me about his day? Is I would actually listen. Like, if I didn't think he's selfish and I didn't go into this whole rant in my own head and get all annoyed without telling him anything, I would listen. I would listen to what he's saying. I would nod and actually care and, you know, not be so selfish and thinking about myself. And at that moment, I realized I am not even listening. I'm in my own head having this whole fight with myself about how selfish my husband is. Meanwhile, do you get how this is like, what? And that was the first time. And then the next step after this, those are the four questions, right? Is it true? Can you absolutely know it's true? By the way, because even if you say, yes, it's true, there's no right or wrong answers. Whatever comes up for you, whatever you feel, right? But it has to be either yes or no. You can't be like, it's half yes. No, it's yes or no. Is it true? And then if you say yes, can you absolutely know it's true? Because we get so caught up in, well, I think it's true, so it must be true. Well, okay. I think, you know, the world is, I don't know, purple. It's not. I mean, my world's purple, whatever, right? It's like, we want to know the truth, and truth is not maybe, it's absolute. And by the way, like, don't try to force it. Don't try to force a no if it feels like a yes. Because again, just like in my example of my first time using it, it felt true. Yes, it was absolute. I had the story. I had the evidence. It was staring me in the face. Okay, that's it, right? Keep going. Trust the process. Don't stop there. Question three was, what happens when you believe the thought? And question four is, who would you be without this thought? Who would you be without this thought? And it's just an eye-opener. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it be anything. You just let it sink in. You let it sort of just penetrate. And then phase three, I guess. That's what I call it. I don't know what she calls it. It's called the turnarounds. And the turnarounds is, you take the statement, he is so selfish, or whatever statement you have, and you turn it around. And turning it around could be a lot of different ways. You can turn it around to yourself, right? He is so selfish. I am so selfish. Well, you already heard that's pretty true. It's probably more true than the original truth, but we'll leave it at that because I didn't really want to, you know, face it. You can also come up with the opposite of selfish. He's so selfless. Like, if I would actually stop and listen, he's telling me about all the people he helped and how he was the one who completely, like, gave of himself in this situation. And I'm sitting there like, why am I believing he's selfish if I'm actually, you know, listening and finding out a completely different truth, right? So sometimes you say he doesn't care about me. So the turnaround could be he doesn't care about himself. He cares about me. I don't care about him in this situation, right? Anytime you turn around, it's not that you are selfish. I am not a selfish person. But in this moment, when I believe he is selfish, I automatically become selfish, right? When I believe he's angry, oh boy, you better believe I'm angry, right? When he's mean, I'm mean, right? It's a reaction. It's what we do to protect ourselves is we become the thing that we think of the other person. So if I want to change my reaction, I need to change my feelings. And if, in order to change my feelings, I'm going to have to change my thoughts. We call that think on purpose, right? You don't have to buy everything your brain tells you. Your brain will offer you, he's so selfish. And you'll be like, yeah, maybe, but maybe not. You know, that's okay. I don't have to fall for everything my brain says. Let's see the question here. You selfish? I can't imagine you being selfish. If anything, you're selfless. Aw, I love you. Yeah, I'm not a selfish person, but you better believe it. In that moment when I think he's selfish, I just illustrated to you all I could think about. He's talking to me and I am not even there because I'm thinking blah, 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 selfish, 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 right? It completely took over. And usually, and I love this, she says, suffering is optional. When do you suffer? When you are in the past or in the future? You're never suffering when you're present. And this is, by the way, why, in order to, you know, get rid of all the, in order to heal, right? What we do, all these exercises of meditation, of getting into our body, of exercise, right? I am now going to be swimming across the Kinneret. And by the way, woohoo, I was able to swim 80 laps today for the first time, which means I swam 2 kilometers in 1 hour. So I'm ready for the Kinneret. I'm very excited. So side point, why did I take upon myself to swim the Kinneret? Because I get into my body. In that hour, you think I'm thinking about anything else? You think I'm sitting around blabbing in my head about all the suffering, all the annoying and all the people and all the blah, blah. And I don't know, I don't have enough money and I don't have enough clothes and I don't have enough blah, blah. Like all that chatter in my head is gone. I need to focus. I need to move my body. I need to be, you know, in my body. And your body is present. There is no way your body could be in the past or in the future. It just is. It is right here. So in order to get present, you can use your body to your advantage. And you can get into your body. You could count your fingers and count your toes. You could bring your awareness, do a body scan, right? You can go into your mind. You can really, really just listen to your breath. All these things are ways to get present, okay? When are we suffering? When we're going past, future. Here's an example. I see the kid going up, you know, climbing the tree. What's my first reaction? Oh my gosh, he's gonna fall. I'm suffering, right? My heart, I'm a mother. Oh, right? Why am I suffering? Because I remember hearing about a kid falling, or I remember my brother falling, or I remember my mother being afraid of my brother falling, or watching a movie about a kid falling, right? All these things, there's something going on in my head. There's a movie playing of a past thing, and I'm projecting it onto this future. It obviously didn't happen yet, but I am projecting it. So I am suffering because I'm seeing something that isn't really there. When am I going to be able to be calm? Is when I am 100% present and in the moment. I can pray for the kid. I can go and help him. I can do a lot of things, but first I need to get really grounded. Like I will be a lot more useful as an adult, right? If I am present and not if I'm in my head and the chatter. We call that the story. Right? Byron Katie has a book called What's Your Story or something like that. And it's all about how we swim in the story. We are constantly telling a story. When I was telling, you know, telling you about my husband, I'm swimming in the story. Look at him. He's just talking about himself. All he wants is just blah, 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 right? I am, and a lot of times when people will complain to me, they'll call me and they'll start telling me about their husband. They're like, he's such a this, and da, 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 and you know what he did? And then another example and another piece of evidence and another thing. That's all just part of the story, okay? I want you to get out of the story. I think of the story as a pool and you're swimming in the story. Get out of the story, look at the story. Okay? That's what we do. Another example, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some practical stuff. A good example of why it's so important to question your beliefs, or how this whole questioning your beliefs works. Byron Katie has a story, and I like it. We're all sitting around, standing around, we're chatting, we're talking, oh, how are you, what's up, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly we see there's a snake on the floor. Somebody points out the snake and everybody goes, oh my gosh, snake. Ah. And what happens to my heart? It starts to pump. Oh my gosh, my heart. And, you know, my eyes get really focused and all I can think about is the snake. My brain obsessed on the snake. I cannot hear or think or see anything else. I am just snake, me and snake. And I am petrified. My body starts to sweat, right? My digestive system pauses so that I am, you know, nice and ready to do whatever I need to do. My body physically reacts to the snake. Why? Because my brain is believing snake is dangerous. Okay. Here's what happens when suddenly my friend looks down and says, oh, ha, it's made of plastic. Your kids probably put it here to play a prank on you. And we all laugh. Ha ha. Isn't that funny? Oh my gosh, my kids. Okay. Ha ha ha. What happens to my body now? I take a deep breath. My eyes go back to normal. My brain is not obsessed anymore. We're all just chilling. My body is slowly getting back to normal. Okay. Now, whatever. We forgot about the snake. It is not bothering us anymore. It's still there, but I do not feel anything. My body is completely non-reactive to this snake. A friend of mine shows up and she just walked in, and she walks in and says, oh my gosh, there's a snake right by your feet. She's petrified. But I'm not. I'm like, oh, it's plastic, right? Why is my reaction different this time? Because my belief is different. And here's where it's really important. Because if you can get to a point where you change your belief about something that really triggers you to the point where your body is reacting, right? When people say it's all in your head, they're not saying, oh, you're inventing a pain. No, they're saying your pain is real. Your heart really, really, really started to go that fast. And your body really did sweat. And your eyes really did dilate, or whatever, the other way. Like, these are all physical things. It is not in your head, quote unquote, is physically there. What is in your head is the source. The reason why your body is reacting is because there's a belief in your head that is making your body react. Okay? This is really important when we have beliefs about our husband or our children that are, you know, there's so much evidence of why he's, you know, on the spectrum, or why he's, you know, slow, or there's something wrong with him. And then like, it's never going to change because there's something wrong with him. And I just need to learn to live with it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not making fun of you. I know I was there. It's very painful. It is very, very painful and upsetting that the entire world comes at you and gives you all the evidence of why it's just not going to work. And you have two choices. You can either suffer or you can leave. And I got really frustrated with that. I'm like, if you had an infection in your arm, would you be okay with someone saying, well, you have two choices. You can either suffer with a painful arm or we can amputate. Like, excuse me, is there no option of healing? And so I'm bringing everything physical into the spiritual, emotional life, right? You have healing. There is such a thing as healing in the marriage, especially. I have seen it. I do it all the time. This is my job, right? And I am shocked when people tell me I only have two options. And so I guess I just have to live with it because I don't want to get divorced. So what am I going to do? Just going to suffer forever and ever. Like, no, that's why I have this retreat. It's because we started with day one. I want you to be happy. I want you to have everything you want. I want you to know, step two, that everything is from God and God is capable of, you know, miracle, of turning things around, of like a blink of an eye. It is not okay to fall into that thing, that story, that loop of like, oh, it just is what it is. Not okay. And today I'm teaching you a very, you know, practical way of questioning it. And yeah, sometimes something is so big that it's like hard to question and you need support and you need guidance, and that's okay. But it's still questionable. Still not absolute truth. And one of the things about the snake, for example, if somebody comes and says, listen, your child has a problem. We have this document that says it right here and we signed it, so it must be true. And that's okay, you know, if you know the truth, the snake is plastic, then you're like, uh-huh. But don't you see? It's there. The snake is right at your feet. It's gonna kill you. And you're like, uh-huh. Right? It doesn't faze you anymore because you're the mom and you know the truth. Do you see how changing the belief will change your entire life? Because now, do you treat the child the same way? Uh-uh. Because your belief is different. Now they have wings, the sky's the limit, and you are capable of creating a different reality just by changing your beliefs, which is why I spend a whole day of my retreat on this, because it's so powerful. Let's go into the workbook. By the way, this is how miracles happen. When you stop believing the noise, and you start believing the truth. And that's why we had yesterday as a prerequisite to this, because God is truth and God is capable and God is limitless. And he's, you know, the source of everything. So when people are like, oh my gosh, there was a miracle. It's like, yeah, but you have to know where those come from and how to tap into them. Okay, so we are in page 3, because today is day 3 of the workbook. Listen for the answer. You're going to fill this out. I want you to take a moment to really just become present. It's okay. Let it all come out. You are safe. You're allowed to write whatever comes to you. It is okay. You don't have to share your notes with anyone. But by putting it down, you're going to be able to look at it. You're going to be able to pin it. Because what happens in your head is if you don't ever write down what's happening, so it starts to snake around. It's like, oh, did I say that? No, I meant a different thing. So it's like, well, is it true? Is he really selfish? I didn't say selfish. I meant like he's not, you know, he couldn't care. Oh, is it true? He's not caring. Oh, wait. I meant he doesn't actually love me. Oh, wait, what? Right? Your brain is going to play that trick and is constantly going to shift, whatever it's called. You get the gist. It's going to do these tricks in your brain so that you don't actually get to the bottom of it. But when you pin it down, and you don't let it change, you write it down, then when you go back, you're going to laugh because it's going to change. And then you're going to look back and you're like, oh, that's what it was, right? It's this gigantic monster. But when I pinned it down and I actually looked into its eyes, it turned out to be a little tiny, like nothing, right? That's the power of writing down. Okay, so we have a couple of statements and you can write whatever comes in, you know, comes up for you. Right, I gave you an example. My husband is selfish. So come up with what's your belief about your husband that's so frustrating or annoying. My husband is annoying. Aw, my husband's loving and one of a kind. And this is one of my clients. So I love you. I'm so happy you came to that. And that is true because it's not causing any frustration or any suffering, right? Here's another really great example of, or, you know, a point I want to make. Hannah Mason, she's a fellow coach. I love her. She's amazing. This is like one of her things. She loves to teach the work by Byron Katie. She says, your body is a lie detector test. Do you know how a lie detector test works? It tests the stress in your body. It tests your, you know, your heart rate and your eyes and your dilation, your brain, whatever. It is testing your muscles and your body to see if it's a lie, because lies create stress. So if there is something in your life that is creating stress, it must be it's a lie. And if it doesn't, and if you're happy with it, if you're like, oh, my husband's loving, oh yeah, that feels really good, great, then you know it's true. Okay, the next one is my husband should be. My husband should be more successful. Boy, does that one, does that one hit, right? That's a stressful one. My husband shouldn't. What's coming up for you? I like seeing your comments. My husband shouldn't yell. The next one, get upset. My husband shouldn't be upset. The next one, I need my husband to. Right? For me to be happy, I need my husband to help more. Share with me, how was his day? I need my husband to get off his phone. Great examples. These are real, right? Give me more attention. Yep. And the last one, My marriage is. My marriage is bumpy. Thank you for sharing. My marriage is. Correct. Nothing is perfect. And obviously, if something positive comes up for you and it doesn't cause you stress, then you're like, woohoo, I'm happy, I'm good. You have what to be grateful for. This is an exercise to find the beliefs that are causing the suffering. Okay. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to find, here I wrote turnarounds. Ideally, I would love you to ask the four questions. Is it true? Can you absolutely know it's true? What happens when you believe the thought? And who would you be without the thought? Right? There was a beautiful example. My husband should be more into natural stuff. Right? We fight about this all the time. That was the comment. So my husband should be more into natural stuff. Is that true? Well, yes, natural stuff is the way to go, right? We all agree. But can I absolutely know that it's true? I can't know. Right? There's like a million ways of doing anything. So I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. If it's not absolute, I guess it's a no. So what happens when I believe that my husband should be into natural stuff? Well, I get really annoyed. I get really angry. I get really frustrated. I can't talk to him about the things that matter to me. And then I can't talk to him about anything. And then I go into this whole loop and then my brain goes blah, 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 and the chatter is completely whatever. And guess what happens in my body? My body is creating sickness, is literally creating the exact opposite of what I want him to believe in, which is natural healing, right? Like I want him to believe in the natural stuff. And what I'm doing is I'm killing myself. An eye opener, just awareness. The awareness is so helpful. Just getting into your body. What is this doing to me? A beautiful question is, where do I feel it in my body? My husband doesn't believe in natural stuff, or my husband should be more into natural stuff. It like hits me in my stomach. I know the truth and I'm so annoyed, right? It's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe it hits you somewhere else. Maybe it feels on your shoulders. Maybe it's in your head. It doesn't matter, but you'll feel it. You'll feel it because it go like when you bring your awareness to your body, you'll feel it right away. And then the awareness is so helpful. And then the last question, who would I be without this thought? If I didn't believe my husband should be into natural, maybe it's just like a soundtrack I can take out of my head. We're in the same situation. And instead of being like, I can't believe you don't believe in this stuff. Why are you trying to get my da, 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 da? Right? Why are you trying to give them antibiotics? Or why are you so annoyed about me, you know, I don't know what, making tea, whatever it is, right? Like, what if I didn't have this belief? What if I would just be? Who would you be without this thought? I mean, first of all, you'd be present. You'd be more listening. You'd hear what he has to say and maybe be able to communicate what you want to say without all that anger, all that frustration, all that, right? And so it changes the whole dynamic. This is very different than a system that tells you what to say, when to say, how to say, use these words to be heard, Don't say you, say I. Like, those are very wonderful. But like, if you go down to the core and you find what's actually happening, the belief is what's causing all the stress. It's not actually your husband. Your husband is just human trying to live his life. And he's thinking, why does she not believe in medical medicine? You know, like, what is wrong with her? Right? So we're playing this game in like illusion world. And in reality, it's all based in a belief. And if we can go down to that belief, now listen to what happens. My husband should be more into natural stuff. Well, what's the turnaround for that? Maybe my husband shouldn't be so into natural stuff. I don't know why. Let's find an example of why he shouldn't be into natural stuff. Wow, maybe he didn't grow up with that. Maybe it's completely foreign to him. How is he supposed to be into it if he'd never really looked into it or heard about it or was, you know, in that world? Right? My husband should be into natural. I should be into natural. Instead of my husband, I should, right? So it's like, stop trying to change him. Stop putting it all on him. Listen to your own advice and get into the natural healing stuff and stop stressing, right? If you're so into natural, then get coaching and get, you know, get to the bottom of it. Okay, so we let them be human. We let ourselves be human. We bring awareness to how human we both are. It makes us equal. It makes us fair. And we can actually relate. We can actually have a life. You know? And by the way, this is a very good example because my husband was a Hatzalah member in New York. And I just 2 years ago had a home birth. And for me to go from that extreme to this extreme was a huge deal for me, right? It's like, how long and what did I need to go through in my entire journey of, you know, 7 children and 7 births and hospitals and, you know, ambulances and things, whatever, because he was trained a certain way. And it took a really beautiful journey of both of us just being really real to finally be able to be like, this is really what I want. I'm going to get a real midwife and we're going to do it right, you know? And he signed the dotted line. He did. And I was shocked. I wasn't willing to sign until he signed because I was so scared to get my hopes up. Okay. That's how, like, she came to our house and gave us the papers and I just left them on the table. I couldn't even go near them because I was so scared. So you see, like, it can happen and it does happen when you let it happen. And somebody asked before in the chat on the WhatsApp group, what does that mean to free him? That's exactly what it means. It means stop pinning him down to the thing you believe he believes. Stop holding him in the little cube, in the little square where you think he is standing. Let him be free to walk around, to change his mind, to be human, to be himself, to maybe look into stuff. Like, don't believe he's not into natural, pinning him into a corner that now he has to be not into natural because that's what you believe about him. And this is what we always fight about. So it's just, you've decided that's his identity and you pinned him there. Instead, just let it go. And it's amazing. It's so beautiful. I am a living testament to this work, okay? And I wish that I can go into all the beautiful details about our journey and how amazing life is, but like, it's really not nice. It's like, he is, you know, my husband and all. But like, you know, if you talk to people who knew him when we just got married, in the first couple of years, we got a lot of help from external people telling us what's wrong. Like, you know, there's something wrong. You know, there's something wrong. You know, there's something wrong. And it's very nice. It's really helpful, especially from people who are like loving and like delicious to you, you know, like, we're your parents. We want the best for you, right? It's like, it makes you feel like suffocated. You don't know what else but we're living downstairs from them right now, right? So like, it's amazing to see the journey. It's amazing to see how much we have changed, how much life has changed, how many miracles have happened, how much you don't have to be in that same spot. You don't have to be like stuck in that thing you've created. Just like free yourself. Tomorrow is day 4. It is the last day before our break. Okay. So tomorrow is Thursday. We go on break Friday and Saturday. That will give you time to catch up. It will give you time to watch the replays if you want to go back and listen to something. It will also be a great time for you to schedule your one-on-one with me, the implementation call. Let me see if I have the link to that because it is really powerful. Most people who have done this in the past schedule their implementation calls like as soon as possible because it's the best part of the retreat. You get to talk to me and get free coaching for a whole 15 minutes. So I highly recommend it. They obviously highly recommend it because they already took all the spots. Just kidding. If there is no spots or if you find that there isn't the right time for you, just send me a WhatsApp message and I will find you a time. Okay. I can open up more times. I just, you know, thank God I'm busy. So thank God. Make sure you sign up for the implementation call. It's super powerful. It's super fun. And we get to talk. So highly recommended. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about mastering the higher level of consciousness, because what we've been doing is we connected to ourselves, we connected to God, we connected to our husband. And now we want to master that, right? I have a very hard time giving people like one-offs because I get them to fly and they're like, woohoo. And then what? They don't have the tools to like sustain it, to be able to stay there. So then they crash and they're like, oh, that was, you know, it wasn't worth it because now I'm down here again, right? So we're going to talk about how do you master the level of consciousness so that you stay up there, so that you could never go back to the mud, right? You know, people who are in the mud, it's like, oh, I'm playing with mud and I'm talking about mud and I'm constantly sharing mud and like all I have in my life is mud, right? We want to get you out of that mud to a higher level of consciousness. There is no blame, no shame, no gook. It is just higher level. And the higher level of consciousness is going to get so amazing. You're like, wow, I could see from up here. You know, I don't have to like be dealing with it. It's just things are flowing. And we're going to talk about how to master that and make sure that you stay up there. Okay, just like a diet. We want to make sure just to keep the weight off. No, I'm just kidding. It's sort of like a diet. I love you all. Thank you for coming. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place.